Good morning. I wonder whether you have ever looked forward to an event in your lives with excitement and hope. Maybe it's something like me you would hope would happen one day. It's something that you dream about, or there may be a slim chance. With me, I didn't think I would get to do it, but it did this year. Earlier on this year, it was about visiting the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. I always dreamt that one day it might happen, but I didn't hold out too much hope as it was really. I thought it might happen one day, but it did, as circumstances did allow it to happen earlier this year, as I said. And wow, it was amazing. It lived up to all of my expectations. When I got there, I was like a little boy in a toy factory. Which toy shall I play with first? It was wonderful. And the other thing was, of course, there was one thing that I'd love to have seen was a launch. I knew that there was one on that day as well, but I thought that I was going to miss it because when it was going to happen was the time I was traveling back on the coach from the space center, so I was going to miss it. And when I got back to the ship that I was on, I asked the people there, "What was the launch like?" They said, "It hasn't happened yet. It's been held up. It's about to happen in 20 minutes' time." And I rushed up to the top of the ship as high as I could get, and a good vantage point because you could see the space center from the ship. And there it was. I saw this rocket launch into space. I thought all my Christmases and birthdays all came together at once. Wonderful. But today, of course, we're going to look at two elderly people. They were looking forward to something as well, some incredible event in their lives. The difference between me and them is two things, really. First of all, they knew it was going to happen. They knew with certainty that it was going to happen. I didn't. But this event also was so huge that it put my visit to the Space Center a little bit to shame, although I did enjoy it. They were looking forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ the Lord. Wow. So how did they know that they were going to see him? Well, both Simeon and Anna paid attention. Many others around them, including religious leaders and all sorts, missed it altogether. But they didn't. They were paying attention. Okay, those religious leaders and all the rest of it may have had a head knowledge that the Messiah was coming. They certainly did. And they knew the scriptures. But did they actually have a heart knowledge of what was going to happen? Simeon and Anna had a heart knowledge. What I mean by that is, just to give you an example, Psalm 23. We all know it all off by heart, don't we? One way or another. And we can rattle it off. The Lord is my shepherd, blah, 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 blah. But what about when you really think about it, when you're saying it? The Lord is my shepherd. It's special. And it goes to the heart. And this is what I mean by heart knowledge and head knowledge. We can all learn things off by heart, to say off by heart, but does it go into the heart? No. Well, Simeon and Anna, they not only paid attention, but they knew it by heart. And because when Jesus was brought into the temple by Joseph and Mary, they had to meet the Levitical law, which demanded that every firstborn was to be consecrated to the Lord. And that was in verse 23 of the passage, a little bit earlier. They recognize him straight away. That's incredible when you think about it. You see, the Messiah was a long time coming. In human times, a very long time. Anna and Simeon knew their Bible, which was, of course, in those days, just the Old Testament. They didn't have the advantage that we have of the New Testament. So how did they know? What did they know? Well, I can rattle off quite a lot of stuff, but I'll just give you one or two examples. Micah 5:2 says that he will come from Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14 says that Jesus would be born a virgin. Hosea 11 verse 1 says that he would come out of Egypt, which he did, because when you think he was made a refugee, and Mary and Joseph, and they escaped that cruel decree that Herod wanted to kill all the male firstborns because he wanted to get rid of Jesus, because he heard he was going to be a king and would maybe denounce him. So they came from Egypt. They came back from Egypt. And Isaiah 9 verses 6 to 7 says that he will be called God himself. Proverbs 30 verse 4, Son of God. Do you know what? The list goes on and I could rattle it off. But these Simeon and Anna would have known these things. And I'll tell you something, they didn't even have the advantages that I've got today of Google. Very useful tool. But I would also tell you to even check that out when you come up, because sometimes even Google can make a mistake. Double check passages that's given. But don't miss out on Isaiah chapter 53. That clearly forecasts the sufferings of Christ 750 years before that happened. Simeon and Anna knew these things. What about you and me when we think about the coming of Christ the second time? What do we know? Do we study the scriptures as they did? Simeon also knew because he was told by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. It says that in verse 26. There is a little bit of a cautionary note, and I don't want to dampen the Spirit's fire by any stretch of the imagination. But if someone says to you that they've been prompted to tell you something or say something by the Holy Spirit, always keep in mind that the Holy Spirit will never give any guidance that will be contrary to the scriptures. So check it out. The Bible itself tells us to check the spirits, even these things. And I'm not saying that that the Holy Spirit doesn't prompt people, but always keep that in mind. Simeon's message, well, I want to reread verse 28. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that's you and me, the non-Jews, and the glory of your people Israel. Well, that was something else, wasn't it? Imagine taking your baby to be dedicated, and somebody says something like that, you'll be chuffed to bits, wouldn't you? And the thing is that so far it's so good, isn't it? Wouldn't you marvel at something like that, just as after what Simeon had just said? A time of great joy. Hang on a minute. Verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Well, I would say that's a bit of a party pooper, wouldn't you? Can you imagine if you brought your newborn to Simon and he comes out with something like that? I think you'd run out the door and never come back. But what did he actually mean? What does Simeon mean? Well, it's thought that the piercing of Mary's soul would be brought about by the suffering of Christ on the cross for you and I. Simeon is also saying that Jesus would be a controversial figure. The rise and fall of many. He would suggest that Jesus would be a source of judgment. That is a bit of a shake-up, isn't it? But anyway, Simeon, as he hands back the baby, Jesus, his part of the story is over. And he says that he can be now dismissed and rest in peace to go to his eternal rest. After holding, just think about it just a second. He actually held Jesus as a baby, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in his arms. you ever stop and don't ever stop to marvel at these things. That is incredible. And then comes along Anna. She was known as a prophetess, as it says in verse 36. What a remarkable character that Anna is. Verses 36 says there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and was then a widow after she was 84. Well, you think about that, that can be read in another way, and there's even a footnote down to the bottom to point this out. She'd lived with her husband for 7 years, and it's quite likely that after that, 84 years, she was a widow. Well, that makes it 90, and you consider even if they married really young in those days, Anna would be around 107 to 110. So, I mean, she is an incredible lady. By the way, whether she was 84 or that age, she's an incredible woman. The passage goes on to say that she never left the temple, night and day. So you can say that she lived there, really. Well, what did she do in the temple all day long? And you might ask yourself, couldn't she have made a new life for herself after her husband passed away? Couldn't she have gone out, started afresh? Maybe dare to think about another husband at some stage? Or maybe you might think that she stayed there and wasted her life. But what did she do that time? Verse 37 says that she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. I think that Anna had an incredible life, an amazing life, and it was no way wasted. Being a prophet, she would have been well known and respected, and maybe preached many times, because in 38 it says she came up to them, the people that were there in the temple, and gave thanks to God for Jesus, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She didn't have a wasted life at all. I think she was loved and respected. Both Simeon and Anna tell us that you can serve the Lord your whole life and that you're never too young or old. Maybe as we age, our ministry might change with advancing years. We haven't got the same energy that we once had. And maybe there's always a ministry of prayer. I think there is always a ministry of prayer. We've mentioned him before, but I want to mention him again, our dear brother Brian, and also for Elva. Brian now with the Lord. He touched each and every single one of us here with his humility, his respect and honour that he had for the Lord. The prayers that he prayed, I can remember very well. Both Brian and Elva rarely missed a prayer meeting. Both have served in this church loyal and faithfully, amongst others too, before this church came about for many years. In fact, you could probably say that we are all here as a result of their prayers. So what can we learn from that? Keep praying. Keep vigilant. Never give up. Please come to our prayer meetings. Never give up on prayer. It's an amazing ministry. And you can see God at work in very many ways. And what can we learn from Anna as well, and also for Simeon? I think it's to be ready. Be ready for what? Well, we too, aren't we waiting for the second coming of Christ? Aren't we? When is he coming? I don't know. The answer to that is we don't know the time, but we know with certainty, if you're a Christian today and you believe these things, you must know that he is coming one day. So how can we be ready? And another thing, has he come yet? Have you seen him? Have you heard him speak? Heard him cry out? Have I missed it? Has he come yet? Anyone? No. You see, the reason why I asked is that there is at least 7 people around the world today claiming to be Jesus. One of them happens to be a former British spy. another one in Zambia, saying that he is even more senior to Jesus in the hierarchy of heaven. Ah, what nonsense. What absolute rubbish. And I got really angry when I read this. And then I thought of our sin. Surely when we sin, we're walking away from God. We are dethroning him. Ourselves. Never mind these other people. We're all guilty of it in our sin. But I do go on to say this, that Jesus has the name above all other names. How do I know that? Oh, it's in the Bible. You know, we have a Bible and we've got Google, we've got references, we've got all kinds of things these days. How much are you versed in it? How much am I versed in it? Do we study it? Do we know? Are we ready? He has the name above all other names because it says so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. But are you ready for his coming? Am I? What would it be like? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 24, that there will be false Christs, as I've already mentioned. They're already here and have been for quite some time. Also, that his coming will be like a thief in the night. In other words, you know, you never know when the thief's coming, do you? He's not going to announce it. He's going to come in and nick your stuff before you even know it. So it'll be quick. It'll be like that. And also, it will keep watch. That's what we're supposed to do in the meantime. To keep watch, to be vigilant, to live our lives in accordance with the gospel of Christ. Because when he comes, you will know about it. All of us will know about it, Christian or not. You will know about it. Because he is coming on the clouds with the sky with great power, great glory, mighty strength. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. This is in the word of God that we have. And it's for us there to read, Matthew 24, verses 30 to 31. Who is the elect? It's us, if we believe in Jesus. We are the elect. Those of us who accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. What about you? Have you accepted Jesus to be Lord and Saviour? Do you know even how to do that? Well, I'm going to say one or two things right now. If you agree with me, and I'm going to say a prayer in a minute, if you agree with me, and remember what I said about heart knowledge and head knowledge, pray from the heart, because the Lord will accept you no matter what you've done. He's there to forgive you. That's what the cross was all about, a forgiveness. He wants to bless you. He wants you to welcome you in. He wants to. So I'm going to pray this prayer right now. And if you want to make it your prayer, we say this in Open the Book, but if you want to make it your prayer, say Amen either silently to yourself or from your heart, to know that you'll then be ready when the Lord comes, you'll be ready just as Simeon and Anna were. Let's pray that prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you now, confessing that I am not right in your eyes. I am a sinner, and because I believe you died for me, that I would be cleansed from my sins. I'm really sorry for them, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, to come into my heart, and to be my Saviour. And Lord, I pray this to the glory of God. Amen. If you have actually prayed that prayer, please speak to someone about it and let us help you in any way that we can. But I would like to finish this by reading and leaving you in no doubt whatsoever who Simeon and Anna held in their arms, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is coming back for a second time. That we should be watchful, that we should look out for him coming.
I'm going to read out just exactly who Jesus is, and it's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Jesus, who being in very nature God,
did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, brothers and sisters, this Lord Jesus is coming again. So I just hope and pray that you'll be ready for his coming. And you can take that first step, because we all have to take first steps. And once you've taken that first step, he'll accept you. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we have a sure and certain hope that comes only from you, that you will be coming again in great glory, that there won't be a doubt, that you will, every single heart will know. Lord, we will all bow before you and confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But pray, Lord, that we will be ready, because when you come that day, it will be too late if we haven't committed to you. Lord, we pray that you will help. We don't want to see anyone in this congregation today missing out on your great grace, your great mercy, and your great love. So please bless us and help people to respond if necessary. And Lord, we pray that you'll go forward before us as the coming weeks come ahead. In the glory of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.